welcome to the fifth episode of Emily vs. Science with your host, me, Emily Minaroff. On my Instagram, I asked you guys what you wanted to hear, and the number one response was the effects of marijuana on the body, so that is what we're doing this week. I think this is a great topic because the recreational and medical use of marijuana is controversial in the United States. However, many states have legalized the use medically and recreationally, or even decriminalized marijuana. And although marijuana is federally illegal, 45 out of the 50 states have made laws regarding possession and use of marijuana, and there's only 5 states that comply with the federal law. So I'm going to discuss the benefits of medical marijuana today and how it works and why and all the questions I have. Forgive me, I forgot to include the District of Columbia. How could I? The District of Columbia has legal use recreationally and medically, which I think is ironic, but that's a topic for a different day. So let's get to it. I would like to briefly discuss some terminology real quick, and this is something I never knew, but according to the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health, cannabis, the word, and marijuana don't mean the same thing, but they are used interchangeably. Cannabis refers to all of the products that are derived from the actual plant itself, which is a lot. Here it says the cannabis plant contains about 540 chemical substances. That's a lot. And marijuana refers to the parts of the plant that contain THC, which is tetrahydrocannabinol. And here it says THC is the substance that is primarily responsible for the effects of marijuana on a person's mental state, if you will. And I think that's important to differentiate because when you hear medical marijuana, someone might immediately think, well, marijuana refers to THC, medical THC, rather than the other side effects of marijuana that might benefit somebody. And I think it's just misleading. So I wanted to briefly talk about that because in the research I've done, which I will discuss, a lot of health conditions are treated with CBD, which is another cannabinoid that is found in the cannabis sativa plant. And just to clarify, because there's a lot of words going on here, a cannabinoid is a group of substances found in the cannabis plant, and both THC and CBD are cannabinoids. Now, here's where things get a little tricky, and that is because given that marijuana is federally illegal, that puts barriers on how it can be researched federally because in most cases, it cannot be funded federally for any type of research. However, the U.S. Drug Administration released a new rule that intended to allow more organizations to grow marijuana, but there's still a lot of restrictions and a lot of approval that needs to be granted, which makes it quite difficult. And that's kind of where we're at now. The FDA has a very rigorous approval process, and if you need a refresher, please refer back to my first episode called The Time I Thought I Was Dying. It's all about the FDA approval process, and it's definitely interesting, so take a look. Sorry for this shameless self-promo. It just fit in really well. Okay, moving on. Okay, enough with this like legal jargon and terminology lingo. What do people use marijuana for medically? What health conditions does it observably seem to help? This is where I become fascinated by the use of medical marijuana because there are so many health conditions that have seen observable and positive responses to using medical marijuana. And these different health conditions include pain, anxiety, epilepsy, glaucoma, which is an eye disease, symptoms of HIV and AIDS, inflammatory bowel disease, irritable bowel syndrome, movement disorders due to Tourette syndrome, multiple sclerosis, nausea and vomiting related to cancer chemotherapy treatments, PTSD, sleep problems, and the list goes on. I then went to look at Illinois' qualifying conditions because Illinois just became a recreationally legal state. It was first legalized for medical use, but I just found it interesting. So I went to look at those qualifying conditions because I believe it is different per state. And Illinois has a huge list, longer than the one I just listed. And, autism's on this list, Crohn's disease, dystonia, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, lupus, migraines, muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis, Tourette syndrome, I mentioned that before, TBI, ulcerative colitis. There's a ton of different qualifying health conditions. And I don't say this in awe because I'm like, oh, anybody could get medical marijuana. I'm really saying this because I'm just so intrigued by the fact that it can help so many different health conditions, like I said before. And this is also a great time to think of the crossover between medical use and recreational use, because regardless of how the drug is used, the benefits are the same, whether it's prescribed or not. Now my question is, well, how does it help? Like, what does it do? Like, for example, if you take ibuprofen, that's like an anti-inflammatory, which makes pain get reduced. And that makes sense in my brain. However, usually you take ibuprofen only for pain. It doesn't help a bunch of different things. So how does marijuana, like, know what to do for the body when you have different issues? Or is it a matter of it does one thing and it has several manifestations? Now, in my research, I found that a lot of people just really don't know why, but they know that it's helpful because of the observable effects. One of the reasons someone might use medical marijuana is if they have seizures, primarily Lennox-Gastaut syndrome or Dravet syndrome. These are just two rare forms of epilepsy, seizures, etc. And there actually is one FDA-approved medication that uses CBD to reduce seizures, and that's the only FDA-approved CBD-related drug. And that's interesting because CBD has no mind-altering component to it. Also, since it's from the cannabis sativa plant, where did the approval come from in the FDA? Why was this drug allowed? It just makes me question what does get researched and what doesn't. Where is the line drawn is what I'm asking about the use of cannabinoids. According to WebMD, and do not come for me for this because sometimes WebMD is helpful, WebMD says that the greatest amount of evidence for therapeutic effects of cannabis relate to its ability to reduce chronic pain, nausea and vomiting due to chemo, and spasticity, which is like tight or stiff muscles from muscular sclerosis. But then again, this can relate to the crossover that I mentioned before between recreational use and medical. So many different health conditions, whether diagnosed or not, have to do with those three things that I just mentioned, and that's why people use it, whether it is prescribed or not. When I was a sophomore, I took an intro to neurobio class. We learned all about the chemical substances in the body that are created, produced for different purposes, and neurotransmitters and how they do their jobs. And essentially, this is how cannabinoids do what they do. They take the neurotransmitter route, and long story short, cannabinoids such as THC or CBD are reported to be similar to chemicals in the body that are involved in appetite, memory, movement, and pain. So this is a reason why medical marijuana may work for many of these health conditions, because so many of these conditions relate to appetite, memory, movement, and pain. Overall, what I hope you've gathered from this podcast thus far is that there's just not a lot of research done given the illegalness of marijuana federally and the lack of funding. And in order for marijuana to be researched more effectively, or FDA research, FDA approval, etc., either A, it has to be legalized so that it could be funded, or there needs to be adequate funding even though it's federally illegal. And with more funding and more research, the use of marijuana medically and even recreationally will become less stigmatized, and the benefits can benefit more people, and it can be more effective. It's just a matter of reducing the stigma via funding and the ability to do more research to see the effects of marijuana. What would this podcast be without a little history lesson? And here we go. So in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act was passed, and that put a tax on all of the cannabis sales in the United States. And then over time, more restrictions were put and higher penalties for having possession of cannabis from 1942 all the way to 1956. And then in 1970, the Controlled Substances Act was passed, and that outlawed the entire use of marijuana for every purpose, including medical. From what I've read from history.com about this exact change in legislation over time is that it is not certain that these laws were made off of scientific evaluation. And I think it's also important to consider that in 1970, or around then, was the end of the Vietnam War, and it was a civil rights movement, and there was a lot of political unrest I know that was a very simplified history lesson. I just wanted to emphasize how the opinions on the use of medicinal marijuana and even recreational has changed a lot over time, has taken several 180s, has gone back and forth. There's even evidence from the U.S. National Library of Medicine and the National Institute of Health, the NIH, that there's a direct source of evidence that cannabis was first used medicinally around 400 AD, and in the U.S., cannabis was widely used as patent medicine during the 19th and early 20th centuries, and then when the restriction in 1937 with the Marijuana Tax Act came, that's when things started to change. So it's interesting to see how history repeats itself. And with that, I'll catch you guys next time.